Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And Shabbat Shalom to all those who are watching with us today. As we continue in our new program, you know, that we're doing here, getting ready for the kingdom of Yahweh and becoming the bride of Messiah, I was looking at and meditating on that there's five keys or five gateways to the kingdom. So I want to go through sermons on each of these. The first one is the fear of Yahweh. That's the first gateway or key to the kingdom. The second one is true repentance. The third one is humility to change. The fourth one is self-discipline. And the fifth one is perseverance to keep going and stay focused. So today I'm going to start with a message called The Fear of Yahweh and Respect for Authority. It's going to be a two-part message. As I was going into it, I realized I couldn't do it in one sermon, but I'm going to do it in two parts. And then as time goes on, we're going to do the other ones. I may do another message in between. There's a couple of other messages I want to do. But I believe that these five gateways or five keys are extremely important because each of these is what we need. And I was thinking about it because this is a reality. This is not just something that we're looking to give you information. It's a real reality. It's a reality what Yahweh is doing now in these end times. The signs we're seeing of Yahweh's kingdom coming are a reality. The communal living and kibbutzes that we're going toward, moving toward the kingdom mindset, is a reality. And somehow these teachings have to become a reality. They can't just be another teaching to listen to for an hour, a little over an hour, and then move on. They have to be things that are not only functional and practical, but ways that you can really implement them in your life to change. And I know everybody won't do that. That's just part of life. But for the ones who really are the end time remnant of Yahweh and are looking toward becoming that bride, I want to give you every tool that you're going to need. And like I said, this is the premise. There's nowhere else to go without the fear of Yahweh. And, you know, it's very ironic because I've had people say to me before that they don't understand why we would have to fear Yahweh. Or I've heard people said they don't fear Yahweh. They don't have any fear of Yahweh. And again, where does it come from? It comes from a wrong perception. Most believers are not Jewish. They're not Muslim. Most believers come from Christianity. They come from a false belief in Christianity. And unfortunately, a lot of times, believers bring baggage with them. And part of that baggage is the false grace. So because of the false grace, people have this thing of, oh no, Yahweh is just love, but we only have to love Yahweh, but fear Yahweh. So really, I want you to understand this today because Yahweh says his ways are higher than our ways, you know, and his ways are not our ways. And without the fear of Yahweh, you'll never go into the love of Yahweh. And I always say this, it's like a child that's born, you know, when a child is 3 and 5 and 7 and 10 and even 12 and 15, they're not the parent's friend. The parents are there to correct that child, and the child should have the fear of their parents within them, fear of disobedience, you know. And later on in life, as the child gets older, they build that friendship and it becomes a more intimate relationship between a parent and a child. But when they're smaller, it's not like that. They need to build that fear, and if they don't build the fear, they're never going to get the respect for their parents or for any authority for that matter, as we'll get into later in the message. But the word, Strong's 3372, the word actually for fear is two meanings to it. The first is to have fear, literally to have fear of something. And the second is to give reverence to, reverence or respect. So in the case of Yahweh, which definition are we using? Both of them. Excuse me. We literally need to give reverence to Yahweh, and we'll go over both. We'll start with reverence and awe and respect. But the second part is also to have fear of, because we're going to see there's a lot of reasons Scripture tells us that we need to have fear. And if you don't have fear of something, you'll never be motivated to change, you know. So, like I always say, everything we do is for either pain or pleasure. And somebody will do something much more to avoid pain than they will to gain pleasure. And that's why we have to have the proper fear of Yahweh, literally fear, and the pain of knowing if we disobey him, what the consequences of that are. So let's start in Romans 3 in verse 10. Romans 3 in verse 10. Because, you know, in the ancient world, today, In the world we're in today, in the Laodicean era, there really is no respect for authority. And it's shocking as time goes on how worse it gets. You know, I mean, we know that it's a time the Bible talks about. I mean, we go into Timothy about every other or third week, you know, 2 Timothy 3. And the end time, people will be lovers of self and lovers of money and braggarts and boasters and all the other things. But when you're living in it and you see it progressively getting worse, it is absolutely just shocking and numbing to see it. Even if you look in United States of America, President Donald Trump is the 45th president. And there's been good presidents and bad presidents. I remember when President Clinton was in there, there were a lot of people that talked bad about Clinton, and Clinton was going to do this and that. When George Bush was in there, people didn't like George Bush. But we have never, ever seen a lack of respect for an authority of the probably the most powerful man in the world as we're seeing today with President Trump. And I'm not getting into whether it's deserved or not deserved. My only point is you don't see in religious circles. You don't see it with world leaders. You don't see it with police. Look at the police, how people are just, going out there and protesting to kill cops and do all this stuff. We are literally at a point where there in this world where there is such a low respect for authority. It's absolutely appalling and scary. It's scary to think of how little respect people have for authority. And if you look in ancient times, even kings, King Cyrus, King Nebuchadnezzar, people that were world empires, that were the most powerful person in the world at that time, even had fear of deities. Now, they may have had false deities, but at least they feared something. And in the case of both Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus, they actually also had fear of Yahweh. So today, you don't see that. You don't see world leaders even. You don't see anybody with any kind of fear of Yahweh whatsoever in this world. So we go to Romans 3, we see this. Romans 3 and verse 10, talking about the time we're living in. According as it has been written, Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, not even one. There is no one understanding, there is no one seeking Yahweh. All have turned away. They became worthless together. Not one is doing goodness, not so much as one. Their throat is a tomb being opened. They use deceit with their tongues. The poison of vats is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their way, and they did not know a way of peace. There is no fear of Elohim before their eyes. And this is what I'm trying to say. You know, you can understand human beings not fearing other human beings, right? They grow up today. I mean, people will kill somebody over nothing. You have mass murders everywhere you look. But how can a human being not fear the creator who created everything? And it's because most people in this world don't even believe that there's a creator. They don't even believe they came from anywhere but evolution. And we see this is the world we're living in. There's no fear of Elohim before their eyes. And because of this, this is why the love of many are waxing cold. This is why the commandments are being turned aside and homosexuality is normal. And all of these other evil things that are out there in the world today are becoming normal. And it's just, like I said, shocking and appalling. And it starts because there's no fear of Elohim. And whether it's Yahweh or whether it's a false Elohim, it doesn't really make a difference. People today, they just have no fear of anything greater than them. And it's absolutely appalling and shocking. So let's start. Let's start now with the first definition of the fear of Yahweh. We're going to get into, firstly, to show reverence or respect. And then, like I said, the next we'll get into, to literally fear him. Psalm 96. And I'll read 1 through 4, and then I'll drop down to verse 9. He says, "Oh, sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Sing to Yahweh, bless his name. Bear news of his salvation, Yeshua, day by day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonders among the people. For Yahweh is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared among all gods." Verse 9. "Oh, worship Yahweh in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, Yahweh reigns. And the world shall be established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the people in uprightness. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar in the fullness of it. Let the fields be joyful in all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest shall rejoice before Yahweh. For he comes to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. And I'm telling you, as far as myself, I know that my aspect, my ability to understand the fear of Yahweh grew greatly from the messages I put together to Sukkot on the heavens declare the glory of Yahweh. If anybody is hearing this now and you didn't hear those two messages, please listen to them. They're awesome messages. Because by putting those messages together and meditating on the stars and the planets, and now like they're saying that not only are there billions of planets, they're saying there are billions of galaxies and trillions of stars within those galaxies. I mean, it's just mindless. They're saying there's more stars in the sky than there's grains of sand that are on the beaches. It's just unbelievable to think that Yahweh created all of this. And his enormousness, his greatness. And like I said, the problem is too many people, because of the false grace, and they're hearing this from these false pastors, that Yahweh is like them, and Yahweh comes to you as you are, and Yahweh understands your sins. And they're thinking that Yahweh is like them, and Yahweh is not like you. Yahweh isn't like you. He's not. He's not like me. He's not like any of us. Yahweh is an eternal being. Just that alone, to think that he's eternally existed, that he's omnipotent, he's all-knowing, he's all-present, he's everything. I mean, like, we can't even begin in this tiny little mouse-like finite mind to understand the greatness of Yahweh. But when we're looking at these scriptures, by giving him the proper reverence, by giving them the proper awe, by giving him the proper respect, the first thing it does is put Yahweh where he should be. And the second thing is it puts us where we should be. Because Yahweh is up here and we're down here. And this is the problem. In a rebellious Laodicean world where people don't want to follow any kind of authority, there's no respect for the elderly. There's no respect, like I said, for police and mayors and presidents. There's no respect for pastors and elders. There's no respect for anybody in this world today. And everybody is fair game with the internet. Anybody to smear their name, to try to dig up dirt on people, to bully people on the internet. I mean, all this stuff is so evil. But what it's done is it's taken all judicial order out of society. You know, it's like the old Roman empires with the thumbs up and the thumbs down. And it all starts with not having the fear of Yahweh. Because when you grow up with the fear of Yahweh, then you'll grow up with respect for police and for mayors and for presidents. Because you know that Yahweh put everybody in their position. But it's got to start with respect for Yahweh. Let's go to Psalm 33 and verse 6. Psalm 33 and verse 6. He says, through the word of Yahweh the heavens were made, and all their hosts were made by the breath of his mouth. The waters of the sea were gathered like a heap, setting the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear Yahweh. Let all those living in the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came into being. He commanded, and it stood fast. And this is what I say, that Yahweh, he didn't show up on the earth like a desert island. You know, he floated up on this desert island called Earth, and he started naming things, you know, like with Adam, right? He told Adam, name all the animals, name all of this, right? No, Yahweh spoke, and it was. You know, in the beginning, there was darkness, right, on the face of the earth, and Yahweh said, let there be light. And there was light. Can you imagine the power of this being? Can you imagine if you had that power that anything you said came about? Maybe right now I'd say, let me have a chicken bone and I'd have it in my hand, you know, and I could eat it. But Yahweh is a creator. It's not just having something that's not there. He creates it and creates it like you can't imagine. Creating human beings, right? To have hundreds of millions of cells, and every cell has hundreds of millions of configurations and everything that has to work perfectly within itself. That if one tiny element of DNA was off, none of it would work. And it's not by chance. It's not by chance. It's by Yahweh's great power that all these things come. Isaiah 40 and verse 12. And to think that this being, right? You go throughout the world, and throughout the last 6,000 years, you've had thousands of false deities. You have Baal, and you have Chemosh, and you have Allah, and all these false deities that don't even exist. They're just made up in people's minds, you know? And yet, there is one deity that is true. Yahweh. One deity, Yahweh, that is true, that he's there, that he reveals himself. And people want to show such disrespect for him. And like I said, that's why as the end time is coming, it's getting worse and worse. Because this disrespectfulness leads to what? It only leads to more pride, to more vanity, to more violence, to more evilness in the world. I mean, how could you have a world without the Creator? Like I always say, right? And the message I gave on Let There Be Light. There is no such thing as darkness. There's only light. In the kingdom sense, there's only light. What is darkness then? The absence of light. There's no such thing as evil. Yahweh's not evil. So what is evil then? Evil is simply the absence of good. That's all it is. So as long as you're staying in the realm of Yahweh, as long as you're staying in the respect of Yahweh, in the fear of Yahweh, and the praise of Yahweh, there is no darkness. There is no sin. There is no evil. But this world that has rejected everything about Yahweh, the only thing left is darkness and evil and sin and judgment that's coming. So here we are, Isaiah 40 and verse 12. Who has measured in his hand the waters and the heavens by a span meted out, and enclosed in the measure the dust of the earth, and weighed in the balance the mountains and the hills and the scales? Who has meted out the spirit of Yahweh, or a man his counsel taught him? So when I read this, it's like, it's metaphoric. And in one way, Yahweh is, I wouldn't say mocking mankind, but challenging mankind. Like, you think you're like me? Show me. And I almost think of like a worker building a house, right? So that's what he's saying here. Like a man that comes to build a house, what does he have to do? He's got to bring his little toolkit, and he's got to bring his compass and his square, and he's got to cut these things straight, and he's got to make a drawing, and he's got to put it all even, or that house ain't going to stand, right? It's all got to be level. And this is what Yahweh's saying. He built the world this way. He built the oceans this way. He built the mountains this way. That gravity, that everything holds together, even the earth hanging on nothing, right? Yahweh was the master builder, and not to build a structure, but to build a universe. Can you imagine? With whom did he take counsel, right? Who did he have to counsel? Did he have to come to a human being and ask for advice when he made the earth? And who trained him and taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge and made known to him the way of discernment? Lo, nations are as a drop in a bucket and are reckoned as dust of the scales. Lo, he takes up coasts as a little thing. And Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations, all together, all of us together, all the people on this planet together, are as nothing before him. To him they are reckoned less than nothing and emptiness, vanity. And to whom will you liken El? Or what likeness will you array to him? Drop down to verse 22 and 23. He who sits on the circle of the earth, or the sphere of the earth, even those living in it are like grasshoppers. He who stretches the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes into nothing, he makes judges of the earth as nothing. So can you imagine? He's up there in the third heaven. He's up there with all his heavenly host and everything. And here we are, these little grasshoppers. It's almost like when you're in an airplane, you look down and, you know, they almost look like toy houses or toy airplanes on the ground. You know, when you're far up, that's the way Yahweh looks at us. You know, as what are we? You know, when you look at the Yahweh's glory in the heavens and everything he made, like Psalm 8 says, what is man that you're all mindful of him? What are we to Yahweh? Drop down to verse 25. To whom then will you compare me? Or I am equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and look. Who has created these? Who brings out their hosts by number? By greatness of vigor and might of power, he calls them all by names. Not one is lacking. And that's what we said in the heavens declare the glory of Yahweh. Yes, Adam was told to name all the animals, right? But Yahweh named the stars. I just said there's trillions of them. in the trillions. Not millions or billions, but trillions now. Because black hole goes into black hole, and galaxy into galaxy, right? And it's just amazing how it keeps going on and on and on forever. And Yahweh named every single one of them. Wow, the greatness of Yahweh. Job 38. Job 38. I'm going to start in verse 4. We know the book of Job, right? Because Job had a little problem with self-righteousness, feeling sorry for himself, thinking he was better than what he was really worth. And Yahweh kind of put it all in perspective, the way it is with all of us. Job 38 and verse 4. He says, "Where were you when I founded the earth? Declare if you know understanding. Who has set its dimensions? For you know, or who has stretched a line on it? On what were its bases sunk, or who cast its cornerstone?" Right? Like, again, comparing the earth to building a structure. "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of Elohim shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors? When it burst out, it came forth from the womb. When I made the clouds for a garment and darkness its navel band. And I broke my limit on it and set bars and doors. And I said, you shall come to here, but no further. And here your proud waves shall be set, right? Do you ever wonder that? How? If the seas, like if you keep having rain come into the seas, right? We know that, of course, the water evaporates into the clouds and rains back down. But how do the seas know its limit? Why don't the seas just keep coming onto land and destroy it? Because Yahweh said it that way. Yahweh said it a certain way, and that's it. Have you commanded the morning from your days and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the wings of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned like clay under a seal, and they stand out like a garment, and their light is withheld from the wicked, and the high arm shall be broken. Have you gone to the springs of the sea, or have you walked in the searching of the deep? Have death's gates been opened to you? Or have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Declare if you know it all." Come on, what human being? All these human beings that are so smart, that want to say that Yahweh doesn't exist and they don't care. Let's see them answer any of these questions. Because you know what? Every human being that lived will die. And the ones that are now, the Laodiceans, this rebellious, evil, wicked generation, they're going to get their judgment too. Drop down to verse 28. "Is there a father for the rain? Or who has given birth to the drops of dew? From whose womb comes forth the ice and the frost of the heavens? Who fathered it? The waters hidden like stone in the face of the deep is captured. Can you bind the bands of the Pleiades or loosen the cords of Orion? Can you bring out the constellations in their season or guide the bear with his sons?" And like we were saying, in the heavens declare the glory of Yahweh, the fact that Yahweh gives these signs of the constellations, he's saying nobody else can bring them out. A man can't bring out the constellations. Only Yahweh can, and that's why it's the sign that Yahweh's given of the constellations that we're seeing now. And he actually says it. Who can bring out the constellation in their season, right? Not just every earthly season, but the prophetic season also. "Do you know the limits of the heavens? Can you establish their rulership on the earth? Can you lift your voice to the clouds so that floods of water may cover you? Can you send lightnings that they may go and say to you, 'Here we are'? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts, or who has given understanding to the mind?" Wow. So even Yeshua, you know, who is also Elohim, was able to command the weather, right? He was able to command the waves and to stop. And this is what Yahweh's saying. His ways are not like our ways. His ways are above our ways. And wow, when you think that this being that doesn't need air to breathe, that is eternal, that live forever, and he's offering us to become his children, if we're not in awe of him, if we're not in have respect of him, if we don't give him the proper reverence and fear, then you know what? We don't deserve to be there, because if you don't, then one day you will be another Satan the devil. If you don't praise Yahweh every day of your life, if you don't have the utmost respect for him every day of your life, The only opposite thing is, if you can't even respect Yahweh, then who will you respect? You'll never respect any earthly authority, I can tell you that much. And you know who you respect? Yourself. Everything you do will be self-motivated, will be self-seeking, the same way that this rotten, evil generation is today. It's all about self. And Yahweh can't have another Satan the devil, because that's what Satan's all about. He's all about himself. And that's why the fear of Yahweh, the proper reverence of Yahweh, is the first gateway to the kingdom of Yahweh. There is nowhere to go from here if you don't have that. Someone who says, I don't understand, or I don't have fear for Yahweh, you know what I could say? I can only pray for you, because I will tell you, you will never, ever, ever enter the kingdom of Yahweh without proper respect and proper fear of him. Because again, you'll be nothing more than another Satan the devil. Romans 9 and verse 15. Because, you know, I've heard people throughout my whole life, sometimes people will blame Yahweh. If there is really Elohim in heaven, how could he have let my mother die? How could he have let my father die? How could he have let my child get sick? How could he have let me lose my job? How could he have taken my money away? All of these things. And you want to know something? At the end of the day, Yahweh owes you nothing. What have you given to Yahweh? That a human being is going to say to Yahweh, you owe me something? I'm not going to believe in you unless you give me this. Is he our pet that we're here snapping our finger to make him do something for us? Shame. Shame on anybody with that kind of attitude. It is a selfish, self-seeking attitude. That is the opposite of the fear of Yahweh. The fear of Yahweh is we don't need to know why he does something. All we need to know that he has the authority to do whatever he wants. And for us, we just have a mindset of submission to follow anything. We have a mindset of faith that we trust that anything he's going to do is going to be something that's going to benefit us and other human beings. And wow, how shameful to question Yahweh for the things he's doing in this world, where if you really think about it on the other end, we can't even fathom his mercy and his understanding and his kindness to even let this world be going after almost 6,000 years. When you read the Bible and you read history and you look at the rebellion that's come, when there was never, before the world, Yahweh never knew evil or sin or darkness of nothing. Like I said, they don't even exist. But by giving mankind free will, he gave the opportunity that if we used our free will against him, that those things would come out for the very first time. And you don't think it hurts Yahweh that every second of time that's going on, there's a murder, there's a rape, there's a killing, there's a robbery, there's lying, there's stealing, there's disrespect to parents, every second of every day somewhere on earth? But praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh for his patience. But to think that he owes us something is an evil, wicked, rebellious attitude. Romans 9 and verse 15. Romans 9 and verse 15 says, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whoever I will have mercy, and I will pity whomever I will pity. So then it is not within reach of the one willing, or within reach of him who strives, but is within reach of the merciful Elohim. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, so that I might display my power in you, and so that my name might be publicized in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whom he pleases, and he hardens whom he pleases. Yahweh created every one of us. We are the clay in his hands. And if he wants to make one a vessel to destruction, one a vessel to honor, that is his prerogative as the creator of everything. And you know what? My mind is only to thank him every day of my life that he opened my mind to his truth, that he called me not as a slave, but he called me as a child of his, and that he's taken me out of the evil, wicked world of rebellion that's against him, and he's brought me into a mindset of his kingdom. I only have praise for that. I only have glory to him for that. There's nothing that any of us can accuse Yahweh of. Can you imagine? That's not a good way to go to, you know, it says, 2 Corinthians 5:10, every person that ever lived will stand before the judgment seat of Messiah and have to give account of the deeds he did in the flesh, good or evil. And I can tell you right now, that is not a good way to go before the throne of Yahweh, whether it's at the white throne judgment or another time that you're going there blaming him, that somehow your sins are his fault. because of this or that or that, because you didn't have a good childhood, because you didn't have a good marriage, because you didn't have a good job, or whatever else it is, that you messed up yourself. It's not Yahweh's fault. And like I said, that's why we have to, having the fear of Yahweh, having the proper reverence for Yahweh, it puts him where he should be here and us here. It's not that Yahweh needs us to be patting him on the back or telling him how great he is. He doesn't need that. We need it. We need it to keep us humble. We need it to keep us in the proper mindset. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12 says, "And now Israel, what has Yahweh your Elohim asked of you except to fear Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul." That's what Yahweh requires us of, to have the proper fear of him and to love him and respect him with all our heart and with all our soul. And of course, to be obedient. Verse 17 of the same chapter, Deuteronomy 10, 17. "For Yahweh your Elohim, he is the Elohim of Elohims and the master of masters, the great, the mighty, the fearful Elohim, who does not lift up faces nor take a bribe." Verse 20, "You shall fear Yahweh Elohim, you will serve him, and you shall cleave to him, and you shall swear by his name." And can you imagine people that say, it doesn't matter what you call him. It doesn't matter what you call him. He understands. Wow, what do you mean he understands? This is the creator of the universe. As one man, a bishop in Jerusalem that we knew that was there for over 40 years, who said, "You never blot out the name Yod Heh Vav Heh. You say the Almighty Yahweh. You say the all-knowing Yahweh. You put some kind of title before his name. You don't just blot out his name, because his name means something. His name is important, and his name is the name above every name on the earth. And to say his name doesn't matter, wow. That's somebody who doesn't understand the fear of Yahweh. That's somebody who would be the first one to get up and say, no, say my name correct. Don't call me the wrong name. You know, that's Shmelvin with two V's. But when it comes to the creator of the universe, then it doesn't matter. You can call him whatever you want to call him. That is not the fear of Yahweh. That is not the fear of Yahweh. Revelation 15 and verse 4. That'll only lead to pride, which brings a false life. That's what pride does. People get built up in their pride. They think they're more important. They can't come under any submission. And the next thing you know, their whole life is ruined because of it. Revelation 15 and verse 4, he says, "Who will not fear you, O Yahweh, and glorify your name? For you only are holy, for all the nations will come and will worship before you, because your righteousness has been revealed." And like I said, this is why this is the gateway to the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, everyone will have the proper fear of Yahweh. And everyone will have the proper fear of his name in the kingdom. And everybody will glorify his name in the kingdom. Okay. The second part of the definition. First part, like I said, reverence or respect. But the second part is literally to fear. Literally to fear. And like I said, the false grace in this world has suppressed the proper fear of Yahweh. And that's why there's no fear of sin. There's no fear of calling Yahweh by the wrong names. And you have to have proper fear and motivation. Because everything you do in life is for two things: to either gain pleasure or avoid pain. And like I said, the way the human mind works, the way Yahweh created us, is we will work 10 times harder to avoid pain than to gain pleasure. And if you don't see any pain in sinning, and you don't see any pain in disrespecting Yahweh, and you don't see any pain in disrespecting Scripture, then you'll never do it. Because human nature is always going to do the easiest thing and the thing that's more self-pleasing, right? And that's why Satan wants to deceive, and he wants to trick mankind into thinking that Yahweh's love, to twist what love is, that love is disobedience, that love is being rebellious. That's not love. That's not love. Like I said, for your child to come up to you and say, "Mommy, Daddy, I love you, I'm not going to listen to anything you say," no parent would take that as an answer. Psalm 119, verse 20. Psalm 119, verse 120. My flesh has shivered because of your fear, and I have feared your judgments. My flesh has shivered because of your fear, and I have feared your judgments. And you know what? It's really ironic that people will have fear of storms, right? Fear of lightning storms, fear of hurricanes, you know, fear of volcanoes, and even fear of the underworld, fear of demons, right? When demons come around, people have fear, and rightly so. All those things are fearful, but you want to know something? Yahweh created every one of them. Yahweh created the volcanoes that are going to explode. Yahweh created the storms and the hurricanes. Yahweh created the lightning, like we read about it in the scripture a few minutes ago. And Yahweh created the demons. And the demons shudder at Yahweh. They fear Yahweh, and they have to be obedient. We see that in the New Testament. When Yeshua commanded the demons, they had to obey. And that's why Satan tries to trick human beings into being disobedient. That's what he's doing. He tries to trick us into being disobedient. Matthew 10 and verse 26. Matthew 10 and verse 26. Matthew 10. In verse 26, it says, "Therefore, you should not fear them, man, for nothing is covered which will not be uncovered, and nothing is hidden which will not be made known. What I say to you in darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, proclaim on the housetops. And you should not fear the ones killing the body, but not being able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, Yahweh, being able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna." That's the one we need to have the fear of Yahweh. And that's why I say, wow, if somebody does not have the fear of Yahweh, you've got to get on your hands and knees and you have to repent. You really, really have to repent. Because even repentance is a gift. And all it is pride. You know, it's just pride that people don't want to be subservient to anybody or anything. They don't want to owe anybody anything, you know. But in the end of the day, we are totally, 100% dependent on Yahweh. Like I said, if he took his air away just for 3 or 4 minutes, each one on this planet would be dead. Philippians 2 and verse 12 says, "So then, my beloved, even as you always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much rather in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your salvation not only with fear, but fear and trembling. This is like a fear where you are shaken. And you should. And that's the problem. Let me explain something. The reason why a lot of people don't have the fear of Yahweh is because we're living in a facade. I've said this many times. You know, we're living in the normalcy bias. And face it, the last world war was 70 years ago. So most people on this earth today, even if you were alive during World War II, chances are you were a young boy. You know, very few people are alive that fought in World War II. There's probably some, but not many. But the point of it is, most of us on this planet, we don't know what war is. We don't know living in these dire conditions. You don't live under these conditions where you might get kidnapped or put in prison for your beliefs, that you got to worry about that every day of your life. And because of that, you get put in this false security, like nothing can ever happen to you. And then you don't wind up with the fear of Yahweh. You know why? Because you don't need it. Because you don't think you need the fear of Yahweh. Things are going good. You got your own job. You got your own 401k. You're reliant on yourself. And it's worked to this point, right? In the world of Babylon, you know, commercial Babylon, could be anywhere you're living. It doesn't have to be America. But in commercial Babylon in the West, it seems to work. So the fear of Yahweh is missing, but you got to get rid of that. You got to get out of this facade mindset and realize we have to be fully dependent on Yahweh. And that's the way the fear of Yahweh comes in. Because by that dependence on him, you fear not to have that dependence. And if you don't have it, it's something, like I said, it's the very first gateway to the kingdom of Yahweh. Without the fear of Yahweh, there's nowhere to go but down. Lake of fire. There's really nowhere to go from there. And it will come. Unfortunately for some, it won't come until there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and they're getting thrown in the lake of fire. And then they'll have the fear. But it won't really be the fear of Yahweh. It'll be the fear of death. because nobody wants to die. Acts 9 and verse 31, we see the early believers did have the proper fear of Yahweh. Then indeed the assembly throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, having been built up and having gone on in the fear of the Master. And they were increased in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And unless we have the fear of Yahweh, we'll never grow as a people. We'll never grow in number. We'll never grow spiritually. We'll never have Yahweh's blessing. I'm telling you, it is the cornerstone to change is the fear of Yahweh. Because without that fear, you'll never have the proper motivation to change for the right reasons. 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. He talks about, in the end time, the Laodicean people that don't have the fear of Yahweh. And this is part of the problem. Like I said, the normalcy bias. Because this kind of activity is so normal, because people who tend to say they believe in the Torah, and they believe in these things, and they have no fear of Yahweh, they have no judicial order, and they go along with it, and it might seem in their mind like it's working temporarily, but it's going to be really... It's going to be very temporary. Temporary. It's not going to go on for 100 years or even 50 years. But Peter prophesied about these people. And I'm going to read it here in 2 Peter 1 through 14 and then drop down to 17 and 19. But false prophets were among the people, as also false teachers will be among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies and deny the Master who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. And many will follow their destructive ways, by whom the way of truth will be evil spoken of. And by covetousness, with well-turned words, they will use you for gain, for whom judgment from the very beginning has not ceased, and their destruction is always active. For if Elohim did not spare sinning cherubs, but delivered them to chains of darkness, thrust down into Tartarus, having been kept for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah the eighth, a herald of righteousness, bringing a flood on the world and wicked ones, and covering the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah with ashes, he condemned them with an overthrow, setting an example to men intending to live unholy lives, and also delivered righteous Lot, who was tormented with the filthy conduct of the lawless. For that righteous one living among them day by day, and seeing and hearing, his righteous soul was tormented with their lawless deeds. Wow, and I can understand that. I hope we all feel that way in the world we live in. But Yahweh knows to rescue the righteous out of temptation and to keep the unjust to the punishment at the judgment day. And especially he will punish those who follow after the filthy lusts of the flesh and have no respect for authority. Self-willed and arrogant they are, as they do not tremble when they blaspheme, where cherubs, being greater in strength and power, do not bring against them the condemnation of blaspheming. But these men, like the dumb beasts, which by nature are for slaughter and destruction, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. Being about to receive the wages of our righteousness, as they consider it a delightful thing to revel in the daytime, they are spots and blemishes among you, and sport themselves with their own pleasures, feasting along with you in idleness, having eyes full of adultery and never ceasing from sin, seducing unsettled souls, having a heart being filled with covetousness, they are cursed children. And we see this. We see it today. There's people many times throughout the years that have come into our midst. They come to a feast. They come in for whatever. And they're just looking to meet people. They're looking to find other unsettled souls like themselves that don't want to be part of anything because they're all lonely to death. But they'll never come under judicial order because they don't have the fear of Yahweh. Verse 17, these are springs without water, clouds being driven by a storm, for whom the blackness of darkness has been kept forever. For while they speak astonishing words of vanity, they seduce with obscene lusts of the flesh them who have almost abandoned these, but that walk in error, while promising to them freedom, though themselves being slaves of corruption. For a man is overcome by whatever it is that enslaves him. So they look for unsettled souls. They try to speak into their ears, you know, things to try to get other people. And Yahweh says, this is something that's really, really bad. These are the worldly Laodiceans today that have no fear of Yah and no respect for authority. John 10. Because the true sheep of Yahweh could never be deceived like this. Why? Because the Bible says it. John 10 and verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you that he who does not enter into the sheepfold of the flock by the gate, but climbs up by another place, he is a thief and a robber. But the one entering through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, right? What does he mean by this? One that climbs up by another place, but he doesn't come by the gate. These are people, look, Yeshua has a way that he set down in the New Testament. It talks about in Ephesians, he put apostles and pastors and preachers and prophets, he put that. And how do you become that? He put a very strict qualification in 1 Timothy 3 for an elder to be a certain way. He can't be a brawler. He has to be the man of only one wife, and the wife should only have one husband. And he put these strict characteristics and then set it up where the other elders would have to recognize that person as an elder before the congregation lay hands on them. That's the way Yahweh said it. But in the Laodicean era today, you have people that are jumping over, just like he says here. They're not coming through the gate. They're not coming for training. They're not coming to be trained as elders the way Yeshua trained the original apostles for more than 2 years before he ordained them. And then they ordained others, and they ordained others all the way up until today. That ordination never stopped. No, these are people that want to start their own ministries, that want to dress up like Santa Claus and all these other things and wear long beards and think that that makes them something special. And you want to know something? Just go to your scriptures. The first thing is Yeshua says he doesn't accept that. They're false teachers. And the second thing is the true people of Yahweh will never fall for that. The doorkeeper opens to him, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes in front of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a foreigner, never. But they will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers. So unfortunately, these charlatans who sell videotapes and sell books and charge people to come to conferences and everything else, unfortunately, they are deceiving a lot of the innocent sheep, these brand new people, and Yahweh will be the judge of them. But these people don't have the fear of Yahweh. They certainly don't have the fear of Yahweh because they're just out for themselves. They're out to market themselves. They're out to make money off of people. And like I said, sell videos and whatnot. Hebrews 12 and verse 25. Hebrews 12 and verse 25. He says, watch that you do not refuse the one speaking. For if these did not escape who refused him, who divinely warned them on earth, how much more shall we not, if we refuse to hear him who speaks with us from heaven? Whose voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words yet once make clear the removal of the things being shaken, as having been made so that the things are being shaken may remain. For the things not being shaken may remain. For this reason, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace by which we may serve Yahweh pleasingly with reverence and awe. For also our Elohim is a consuming fire. So the people that are going to be there, the first fruits, the people that are going to be in the kingdom of Yahweh, are the ones that have the proper fear and respect of Yahweh, and also the ones that Yahweh puts in office. Daniel 4 and verse 17. Daniel 4 and verse 17 says, this matter is by the decree of the guarding cherubs and the command of the word of the holy ones, so that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to him whoever he will, and he sets up over it the lowest of men. So Yahweh is the one that allows, this is why we don't vote in elections, because voting, part of demonocracy. It's not Yahweh's way. Yahweh sets up people. Nobody voted for King Saul. Nobody voted for King David or King Solomon or any other kings of Israel. It's a monarchy that was set up by Yahweh, and he was the one who chose the leaders. And the same today, that if you look in every society in the world, there's never been any kingdom that more than 50% of the people were righteous. So just right there, if you look at democracy or demonocracy, you can see that if the majority of the people are evil and there the majority is ruling and making the decisions, then it's never going to come out correctly. But we have to have respect of authority on earth to have respect of authority in the kingdom. Respect for mayors, police, presidents, firemen, teachers, because by extension, it's a respect for Yahweh. And if we don't respect the earthly authority that Yahweh sets, you will never respect the heavenly authority. And that's why you see. You see people out there using the cover of the Torah, right? That they're Torah observant and they're Sabbath keepers and they're this. And then they break every law in the book. They don't want to pay taxes. They don't want to follow the laws of the land. And it's evil before Yahweh because Yahweh put the authority there. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Listen to your spiritual leaders and submit to them, for they watch for your souls, giving an account that they may do this with joy and not with grieving, for this would be unprofitable to you." So again, Yahweh tells us we should be following and listening to the elders that he personally has picked and ordained. It's all part of his judicial order because it's the kingdom mindset. It's the structure that Yeshua personally set up on earth 2,000 years ago and still remains today. And it's the structure, having that kingdom mindset, that will bring us into the kingdom very shortly. Romans 13. I'm going to read 1 through 5 and then drop down to verse 11. Romans 13. He says, "Let every soul be subject to the higher authorities, for there is no authority except from Elohim, but the existing authorities have been ordained by Yahweh. So that the one resisting the civil authority has opposed the ordinance of Elohim, and the ones opposing will receive judgment to themselves. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the bad. And do you desire not to fear the authority? Do the good, and you will have praise from it. For the ruler is a servant of Elohim to you for the good. But if you practice evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of Elohim, an avenger for wrath to the ones practicing bad things. Because of this, it is necessary to be subject, not only on account of wrath, but also on account of conscience." So this is the thing, and you realize this, you know, as you get older, when you're a child, you're thinking that adults are different than you. You know, you're a child and they're big people. Like, they're almost like two different types of human beings, you know? You have this child human being and then you have this adult human being. Until you become an adult. And then you become an adult, you know what you realize? That adults are nothing but big children. And most adults, they don't have spiritual or emotional or physical maturity. They never mature in the way they're supposed to. They never learn how to follow authority. And they're just big kids that are out of control. And I say, if you don't believe it, just look in sports, right? When you look at sporting games, and not only in the United States, but all over the world, these people are so much into soccer and all this other stuff of kicking a little ball around that they go crazy. And what do? They bring their kids there. You'll see this man, this adult man, with their kid, and they're both, maybe the name of the team is the Vikings, and they both have this Viking hat on. And you see the child there, quiet, and the father screaming and yelling. And it's like, come on. He's like a big kid that never grew up. And that's all it is, because you want to know something? We know this from science, that on average, by the age of around 6 or 7, that children, personality is about 80% of what it will be the rest of their life. So those first few years of a child's life are very, very important. And even from there, even from 6 or 7 going all the way up, let's say, to 12 to 15, they're still impressionable and they still can change. But the personality is molded by that time. And that's why it is so important as believers to be teaching our children respect for authority when they're little. Because you know what's going to happen? If you don't teach it to your children when they're 3 and 4 and 5 and 7 and 10 and 12, when they get older, they're just going to be big kids that are going to be against authority. And that's what I see. I've seen that there's so many children that never grew up, that came from Church of God, a lot of them, right? And they have all this chip on their shoulder because of Church of God. A lot of them never came through Church of God. Some of them came through regular Christianity. Some of them came from nowhere. But all I know is all these people, these Laodiceans that have no respect for authority, I know one thing. They were never taught properly by their parents. A few years ago, we met some people in the military that actually joined us with our programs and different things. And in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, wow, well, this person was whatever, lieutenant or captain in the military. He's got to understand judicial order. And it really shocked me when he didn't. And more than one, it wasn't just one case. I've seen quite a few like that. And when I wondered why, I realized it wasn't about the military. It was about the ones who actually went to military school. And they never really learned to be under authority. They just came out at 23, 24, 25 years old as a leader with never being trained. They're the ones that really never learned judicial order. And when they don't get their way, they're like little children. Little children that have to do it their own way. But the ones who actually would go through the military, not go through military school, but go through the military, and then maybe after 10 years of being a private, they moved up to a corporal and then a sergeant and moved up. They were the ones that really understood judicial order because they were under authority before they were over authority. And I always say this, if you don't learn to be under authority, you could never be over authority. You'll be a dictator. You'll be a tyrant. And this is what we're at when we're looking at these scriptures, like Romans 13, to the parents. If you don't start teaching your children now to respect authority, they will never, ever learn to do it. You know, Luke 18, verse 15, I'll read the scripture. Luke 18, 15 says, "And they brought infants to him, Yeshua, that he might touch them. But seeing the disciples rebuked them. But Yeshua called them near, saying, allow the children to come unto me, and do not prevent them. For such is the kingdom of Yahweh. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of Yahweh like a child, not at all will enter." Do you realize what that means? If you don't receive the kingdom of Yahweh like a child, you will not enter. Why? Because children don't hold grudges, because children are forgiving, but children are teachable. Children are filled with pride. Children are teachable. And that's the point of it. If you don't accept the kingdom as a child, you'll never enter it. And that's why if we don't teach them as children, don't wait till your child is 15 or 20 or 30 years old to start teaching him judicial order or to start teaching him respect for elders and respect for older people. You have to teach them the mindset when they're a child. And children need to understand there are children and there are adults. You must teach your children. There's a difference between a child and an adult. And how a child should interact with an adult should not be the same way they interact with another child. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, "When sentence on an evil work is not executed speedily, on account of this, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Many times, people are not correcting their children right away. You're letting them get away with the same thing over and over and over again, and then what happens? It's not that long before the childhood prank of stealing something or taking that last piece of food winds up being an adult, and now, you know, they're stealing something in a store or winding up in prison or something else, whatever it could be. But we have to realize we must correct our children right away or the spirit of rebellion is going to get instilled in their nervous system. They have to understand there's consequences to their decisions. And if they don't have the respect for authority, they're never going to learn this. They will never learn it. And unfortunately, it's sad to say, if the children don't respect their own parents, how will they ever respect elders and policemen and people at work? And when they get older, their husband or their wife or anything else? And this is where most of the problems in the world are coming today, are coming from relationships. That's where the problems are stemming from. They're not stemming from technology because we have all the technology in the world. They're not stemming from money because the money is endless in the Babylonian money system. All the problems that come from the world today are basically stemmed from relationships. And it's because people are not being trained as children to have the proper fear of Yahweh and the respect for authority. Proverbs 22:15. Says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." Foolishness is bound up in the heart. They're children. Children are going to be foolish. That's just the way it is. But the rod of correction has to be there. And the key is you have to be consistent. You have to be consistent. You can't correct your child one time and not correct them another time. You can't have it. You know, there's been times years ago, there was some people we knew that had a child that this child, we thought the child maybe was deaf, couldn't speak, because the child never spoke for a while. And we didn't want to bring it up to the parents because it's a little awkward, you know, without them telling you about the child being deaf. And then all of a sudden, we noticed when the child was by themselves with the parents and the family, the child would be talking all the time. So finally, we did talk to the parent and say, why isn't your child talking? I mean, you know, I'm the elder. You come, you say hello. The child just ignores you. It ignores other people. And they said the child just refused to do it. And I'm thinking, wow. And you're allowing that child to refuse to do that. How will that child ever grow up in society? How will they ever have a job? How will they ever be part of a congregation? How will they ever get married and have a husband or a wife? How will they ever be able to do anything functional when they can't simply even say hello to another human being? Sad to say, but it's true. It starts with our children. And it shouldn't have to be something that goes on year after year after year. These are things that should be instilled in children when they're 3 and 4 and 5. Now, if you didn't, it's okay. There's still time. But you have to do it. And there has to be consequences. You know, face it. Children understand consequences. There's something children like. There's things they like to do. There's things they like to eat. There's games they like to play with. And they need to understand that if they're not going to follow authority and they're not going to listen, then there's going to be things taken away from them. It's that simple. And like it says here, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it from them. Proverbs 13:24. He who holds back his rod hates his son, but he who loves him seeks him with correction. So this thing of time out and this thing of, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings, that's nonsense. That's Satan speaking. Very clearly, from the word of Yahweh, he who holds back his rod hates his son, but he who loves him seeks him with correction. If you love your child, number one, you have to be there. I talked about this last year when I gave all those messages. Where have all the fathers gone? Where have all the mothers gone? Where have all the children's gone? And the most important thing is time. You have to be there with your children. But when you're there, it's not only to be their buddy. You know, if you're a father, it's not only to be the buddy with the son. If you're a mother, it's not only to be a buddy with a daughter. That's great. As you pray as they get older that you do become friends and the respect is there. But when they're younger, there has to be that correction. They have to understand that there's a difference between a child and an adult. Leviticus 19:32 says, you shall rise up in the face of gray hair, and you shall honor the face of an old man, and be afraid of your Elohim. I am Yahweh. You shall rise up in the face of gray hair, and you shall honor the face of an old man, and be afraid of your Elohim. I am Yahweh. Are we teaching our children to honor older people, older men and older women? Do we teach them when, you know, you're on a train or a bus, and there's an older person that needs a chair that you get up and you give them? Do we train them with eating, you know, in our congregation, you know? And this came from a woman. It didn't come from me. It came from one of our matriarchs years ago, that the men eat first, the women eat next, and the children eat last. Because she said to me, she said, the breadwinners eat first, then the bread makers, then the bread eaters. And we go by that. The children shouldn't be the first to eat. Why should they? They're the last on the totem pole, and they have to learn respect. And we have to be instilling with them, not just to do it, but telling them why we do it that way, you know? And they need to understand why there has to be respect for authority. But I'm telling you, if you don't teach your children when they're younger to respect, to have the fear of Yahweh and respect authority, they will never get it when they're older. And that's why what happens, like I said, from Church of God, 80% of second generation children fell away because it was never taught in the Church of God. 80%. These are children that were born in the truth, that had every opportunity, and they lost it because the parents never took the responsibility of training the children correctly. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother so that your days may be long on the land which Yahweh your Elohim has given to you. honor your father and mother, the first commandment with a promise. And are children learning that? Are they learning to honor their father and mother? Because how can you have the fear of Yahweh, who's in heaven, that you don't see, if you don't have the fear of your mommy and daddy, who you do see? They have to learn it. If they don't learn it now, they'll never learn it later. Unless you enter as a child, you will not enter at all. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18. Very interesting, because do you know that if there was a rebellious child that wouldn't listen in Bible times, who was the first one that had to take the child out to be reprimanded by the elders at the gate? It was the parents. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not listen to his father's voice or his mother's voice, even though they discipline him, he will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall lay hold on him, and it could be a boy or girl, it doesn't matter, and bring him out to the elders of the city and to the gates of the place. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not listen to our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, and he shall die. So you shall put away the evil from among you, that all Israel shall hear and fear. It's a very, very sad situation when a child goes the wrong way. And it happens sometimes, you know? I mean, if there's people, you could have three children or five children or seven children, and you know this if you're a parent, every child is different. You could bring them all up the same way, and it doesn't mean that everyone is going to come out the same way. They have different personalities. So it's not to make parents feel bad if a child goes the wrong way, because it happens. At the end of the day, our children have to choose in life. And unfortunately, some will choose good and some won't choose good. But my point I'm trying to bring out today is, when we're talking about the fear of Yahweh, is as an institution, we need to be instilling this in our children. And overall, if we do it, instead of 80% of our children falling away, it'll be the opposite. We'll have 80% of our children or more staying with the truth, and only a small number falling away. So it's important that we understand this, and it's important that we're teaching it. And it's not just something that you're going to hear in a sermon. You know, like I say, repetition is the mother of skill. It's got to be consistent, and it's got to be every day of our life. Deuteronomy 6, we'll be done here in a couple minutes. Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2. Now this is the commandment, the statute, and the judgments which Yahweh Elohim commanded to teach you, to do them in the land which you are crossing over to possess it, that you might fear Yahweh, your Elohim, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your son's sons, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. So this is something, your son, your son's sons, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, it's a generational thing that has to go on. And drop down to verse 5. And you shall love Yahweh Elohim with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall diligently teach them to your sons, and shall speak of them as you sit in the house, and as you walk in the way, and as you're lying down, and as you're rising up. And you shall bind them for a sign in your hand, and they shall be for frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And part of it is metaphorical, part of it is physical. But the point that Yahweh is trying to show us is, it has to be part of our life. When you're waking up, when you're walking by the way, when you're going to sleep, that we have to instill the fear of Yahweh and the respect for authority in our children. Or what's going to happen? When those children get older, they're going to be the rebels of the next generation. That's what we're seeing today. Unfortunately, out of World War II, many of the parents or the children that were born after World War II, the baby boomer generation, it was so horrific, the war, that they didn't want their children to grow up with nothing or all these horrors that went on in the 30s and the 40s. So what happened? They started spoiling their children, giving them things, not teaching them correctly, not like it says, not executing judgment on an evil work, letting them get away with things. And what happened? Now, years later, the baby boomers are retiring and their children and their grandchildren. And you're seeing every generation has only gotten worse. It's only gotten worse because these principles of Yahweh have gone out the window. And whereas before, forget about the fear of Yahweh, at least people had fear of police. They had fear of city officials and presidents and prime ministers. Because this principle has not been used, people have gone the other way. And today, they have fear of nothing. It's got to be ingrained in our children every day of our life. Because the world isn't doing it. And that's why we need to keep sanctified and separate from the world. Well, years ago, for the longest time, you know, probably the last 30 years, I've been promoting homeschooling. And I know it's always a better alternative. But today I say it is. I mean, your chance of keeping your children sanctified, sending them to public school has become, I mean, so minimal now. It's because of how bad the school system has gotten and the things they're teaching in the school. We have to sanctify our children in the congregation. We have to keep them away from the worldliness, and we have to be teaching them the fear of Yahweh and respect for authority. The fear of Yahweh is pivotal and a foundation block to entering the kingdom of Yahweh. We must instill this principle of respect in our children. And if we never had this principle instilled in us, then we need to repent and study about the proper fear and respect for Yahweh and all authority institutions that he placed on this earth. In the Laodicean era, we must not allow the spirit of rebellion to be in our hearts and minds, but keep the kingdom attitude of submission and love and respect. Proper fear of Yahweh is the first key or gateway to the kingdom. Without this, nothing else matters. So in part two in this next week, we're going to get into literally what the fear of Yahweh and respect of authority leads to. All the things we'll see in the Bible, that everything, the fruits of the Spirit, everything that we need to develop as a believer, you'll never develop any of them without the proper fear of Yahweh and respect of authority. So until next time, Shabbat Shalom and Yahweh bless.